Shia people are seeing that not only they are being targeted, discrimination is being done, but they have not been properly taken care by the government and the ones who have influence in society, especially in government. So it's very distressing situation.
Okay, very well.
And
very well.
God forbid.
Let me bring in Masoud Haidar, because I need to get from you an idea, Masoud Haidar. We heard about how Shias are being targeted. That's clear now. But the question still remains, why? And our guests also talked about how the government may be complicit, along with perhaps the intelligence agency in Pakistan. Tell us how that has occurred and why it is that the government allows this to continue.
Yeah, this is absolutely outrageous what is happening. Of course, there is this element of collusion of the establishment or the government, which is being said is there, because the impunity with which these organizations operate and have been not been brought to justice is absolutely, absolutely outrageous. And over here, the thing is simply this has been going on for a very long time, and nobody seems to be bothering about it. When Nawaz Sharif's home base is Pearl Lahore, that's where Lashkar-e-Jhangvi is established, and that's where it is there. And everybody is saying that that organization should be somehow apprehended or dismantled, but this is not being done. Why? Is there must be a collusion between some? I mean, that is what is speculated. What my fear is that Pakistan, in this case, at this point in time, is now poised for a genocide of Shias now, and unless the very school of thoughts do come together, like from the Saudi school of thought of Wahhabism and the Shia school of thought from Iran and so forth, sit down and talk about it. There's not only in Pakistan, in Iraq or in Syria, this is going to explode. I think it is high time that the United Nations and the OIC, Organization of Islamic Conference, which is now basically based in Saudi Arabia, should now sit down together and figure out a way that how there should be some amity created between these two school of thoughts to save the Shia population all over the world. Because I think they're poised now for a genocide, and that is very outrageous. OIC, let me tell you, has not been able to even say a thing about it. United Nations, strains to stay away from this issue because Saudi Arabia is involved. So all these things matter, but ultimately besides Human Rights Watch, which is a good independent group which is voicing this opinion, somebody should raise a voice that this should be taken up at the international level.
Well, I think we might be a little bit too late when you talk about Saudi Arabia after they've given $1.5 billion to the Pakistani government there. But let's take a quick time out right now. It's a good time to listen to some of the viewer comments that's made on our Facebook page, and we'll come back to my question to you, to one of our guests, regarding Saudi Arabia's role in this whole thing. Let's take a listen to the viewer comments.
I was Pakistani. I left Pakistan because Pakistan is not a safe place for Shia Muslims. That's due to Pakistan's army and government support for anti-Shia Wahhabi. Taliban terrorists never raise their voice against the Zionist regime because Taliban work at their behest to create disunity among Muslims. Shame on Taliban. Shame. Lu Tianwei is a Takfiri militant leader, and his party was banned in Musharraf's era. 2 weeks ago, Pakistan received $1.5 million from Saudi Arabia, and that's why Saudi is leading a Takfiri militant organization in Pakistan. Those who are killing innocent people, they are not Muslims. Their mission is to establish Wahhabism in Pakistan. That is why they are targeting minorities. Once an innocent foreign journalist, Daniel Perel, was killed by terrorists, all the state machinery was mobilized and succeeded in tracking them down. Why are these mass butchers at large?
Some of the viewer comments there. Our guest there in New York, Masoud Haidar, you mentioned Saudi Arabia, of which Saudi Arabia recently donated $1.5 billion to the Pakistani government. Why did the Pakistani government accept that? What is Saudi Arabia's involvement in this whole matter?
As a matter of fact, it's a good thing that you bring it up. We were just talking to the Pakistan's finance minister. Why did Saudi Arabia's $1.5 billion were accepted by Pakistan. And he said that it's nothing, because before that, Zardari government has been also recipient of largesse. But that doesn't mean anything. The relations between the Nawaz Sharif government and Saudi government are very apparent, because Nawaz Sharif in exile lived in Saudi Arabia, and he has a lot of property, and he has a lot of interest in Saudi Arabia, he and his brother Shahbaz Sharif. So that's not a secret. It's open. Everybody knows about these things. And the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Pakistan government are very good, which should be in any case. But the thing is, if they're allowed to continue to fund these organizations which are targeting and killing the Shia, then it becomes a different story. And that is what is very outrageous. And now
if you don't mind me jumping in here, Masoud Haidar, what is outrageous are reports that indicate that Saudi Arabia is not just giving money to give it away, but that there's actually some commitments that it wants for the Pakistani government to have. A, obviously not to prosecute any of the groups that are responsible for some of these killings, and B, they want Shias out. They want them terminated, because that's exactly what these groups are doing.
That is what is being said. Besides, in the international community, it is being said very openly that Saudi Arabia is giving this 1.5 billion or eventually more money, because it wants Pakistan army to train these so-called mujahideens or these groups of al-Nusra to be trained in Pakistan to go to Syria on the Syrian front. That is very openly being discussed in Pakistan, that the Saudi Arabians are funding, and I have talked to the Pakistani army to train the soldiers or the militants, train the militants for the Syrian warfare over there in Syria. And same thing in Iraq, that they also want these Nusra or these so-called fundamentalist groups from Al-Qaeda going to these area.
Okay.
And that is what is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. And
we're going to expand a little bit more on that. We're going to expand a little bit more, but we're quickly running out of time. Asar Abidi, if you have my voice, I'd like to ask you, what is the story behind Maulana Ahmad Lutyanvi, who leads the sectarian Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, known as a hardline Sunni Muslim group, ASWJ, and it's also seen as a front for Sipah-e-Sabah Pakistan. And this is a group that's banned by the Pakistani government, is labeled as a terrorist organization, yet it has been able to lead this group, and it's been responsible for murdering hundreds of Shia Muslims. Now, why is this group, which is banned as a terrorist organization, not prosecuted, and let alone free to walk on the streets or to be part of rallies, etc.?
Actually, it's very sad story, and it's very unfortunate that Sipah-e-Sabah Pakistan, which have turned to, or now they are known as Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, they are always been ally of Pakistan Muslim League Noon, which is now in government. But I'm not saying that at national level they are having alliance with them, but on local level, just to win some or few seats, they have in the past aligned with this Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. And if you know the latest that I was listening to news last day, that the one who have won the seat against Maulana Ludhianvi, he has been not there in the assembly now, unfortunately. And the court has given the decision that Mullah Ludhiani will be now in the National Assembly. So due to the reasons they have given. So it's very sad story, and it's unfortunate. The organization which is responsible of killing of hundreds of Shia Muslims, and I would say that organization responsible for even Christian killings as well, that is not being properly handled by the government and the law enforcing agencies. Only very sadly, I would say, to capture some National Assembly seats, some MPs, and some votes. I think that our agencies and our politicians should understand that these 20% of the entire population, Shia people in the country, they should win over their hearts, their minds. They can't be pushed to Arabian Sea or the Indian Sea. They will live in Pakistan. These 50 million people would be there in Pakistan. So why they are pushing this patriot community to the wall? I think the country would not be run smoothly and efficiently until Shia community, who is very influential, which is very capable, very talented, until it is taken back onto the track, and until the community has been assured of their security, their integrity, I think this country will be in chaos. So I can only say that these are the vested interests of the politicians. And there are specific interests of the law enforcing agencies who seek or take these illegal outfits as their strategic assets until they tackle them and don't turn blind eye to them.
Unfortunately, we're fresh out of time. I do apologize. We just don't have any more time left. Thank you very much. Shia scholar there, Asghar Abidi from Islamabad, and Daily Dawn correspondent. Thank you. Masood Haidar, who spoke to us from New York. Thanks so much for watching another edition of The Debate. From me, Kavitagwe, entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.